if you take a look at the label on your sweater, maybe turn one of the toys upside down in the kids' room, chances are it's made in China. Asia's economic powerhouse now exports four times as much to Canada as we do to them. Now, facts like that coming under the microscope today as the Prime Minister meets with Chinese leaders. But with every other country looking for a piece of the world's largest market, how can Canada make inroads? We'll ask Charles Burton, a professor specializing in China at Brock University. Hello, sir.
Oh, you want to know what we can do in China to make a better thing out of the market?
What can we do?
Well, I think we have to be more aggressive in that market to get Canadian products more to the fore. You know, there's a sort of maybe a lack of corporate courage among Canadian firms when they're thinking of expanding internationally. They don't think China, they think United States or some country that seems a bit more culturally compatible. So I think we've got to be in there, show them what we've got, and hopefully get some contracts that will engender more prosperity and jobs for Canadians.
Why is there the lack of courage?
Well, we live next to this huge, huge market, and a lot of our trade is with that market. I think well over the 80% of our trade is with the United States. So there doesn't seem to be as much imperative to look elsewhere, and this is causing us some comparative disadvantage in a big market like China. You know, the Japanese and the Koreans and other countries are much more active there than we are. And I think that we should be trying to find products that Canada has a comparative advantage on, and sell them in that market. The kinds of things that we're strong at are things like financial services and insurance services, and of course our agricultural products like wheat, potash, wood products. We do a good thing on subway cars and small airplanes, telecommunications equipment. You know, there are many, many areas, specialized mining equipment. There are many, many areas in which Canada can compete very strongly. It's a question of getting our products into that market and making those sales.
So how much impact does the Prime Minister's visit have on all of this?
I think it does have an impact. At the same time as Mr. Kretschmann was coming in, that the Chinese finally agreed to two Canadian insurance companies, Sun Life and Manulife, having licenses to operate in the Beijing area. And that's a big step forward. They've been quite protective of their service industries because they don't compete very effectively because they're not well developed. But we feel that seeing as China is a member of the WTO, that we should be competing on a level playing field with their domestic firms, and they should not be engaging in barriers against us doing that sort of business. So Prime Minister is coming through, and suddenly the negotiations speed up, so when the Prime Minister with the file under his arm speaks with the Chinese Prime Minister, the Chinese Prime Minister can give him a positive answer. So I think that these kinds of visits do help break through some of the red tape, and the Prime Minister going out to China is a good idea for Canada on the whole.
And how good a job does our government do helping businesses make this jump?
Well, I think we could be doing a lot more. You know, I think that we have an embassy in Beijing and consulates in Shanghai and Canton and Chongqing in the far west. But the number of personnel that we send out there in the trade section who are designated to help Canadian businesses engender more business are very limited. And I think that we could be doing more to make it easier for Canadians to pursue that China option when they're thinking of expanding their business operations and opening up markets abroad. There is the Canada-China Business Council, which is a private sector organization that provides these sorts of services for Canadian firms, and that, you know, they do good work as well. But certainly I would like to see our government being more aggressive in making it easier for Canadian business to get in there and to capture that market, which is a very, very important one in the world.
I know you spent a lot of time in China yourself. I mean, what do you think the future holds for that country as a powerhouse?
Well, I feel pretty positive about it. You know, it's 24% of the world's people live there, and that's a lot of people, 1.4 billion. Of that at present, you could probably classify about 200 million of them as middle class. So these are property-owning people that that have an interest in seeing their government more accountable and transparent, and also have the resources to buy stuff. So I think that the general trend is good, and that China will continue to make stable development, and the projections are that by 2025, China's economy will be the dominant economy of the world, bigger than that of the United States. And along with that, China will have other greater power in world affairs, which will provide a balance to the current dominance of the U.S. in world affairs, and I think that's arguably a good thing.
Mr. Burton, thanks for joining us.
Nice to talk to you.
That's Charles Burton, former advisor in economic and political affairs at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He also specializes in China at Brock University.